Hello, I'm Dee Noland, author of the Food Lover's Pilgrimage to Santiago books. I'm in Sydney, I'm in Kent Street, I'm in a shop called Trek and Travel, and I'm sitting here with Alma Simons, and we're talking feet and boots. Trek and Travel is where I came years ago before I did my first pilgrimage, the Camino to Santiago de Compostela, and where I bought my precious boots and realised that they were the most important purchase that any pilgrim can make. Now, Almas knows more about buying boots than just about anybody I've ever met, and pilgrims know that discussions about boots and feet really can be the most important discussions that they'll be having. On my last pilgrimage to France on the path from Le Puy, one of my fellow pilgrims used to talk about the pleasure of putting your feet on the ground. But, Almas, it's only a pleasure, isn't it, if your feet are happy?
Well, Dee, that's right. I think one of the tricks about the Camino is, as you said, to get the right set of footwear. And for most of us, it'll be boots. And to feel that crunch of a boot on the asphalt or some of the pebbles is a very nice feeling. But you've got to get the right boots.
You're absolutely right. Now, Almas, you've done the pilgrimage. You've actually been on pilgrim paths three times. You've walked from Pamplona in Spain, which is where, of course, the running of the bulls happens, to Santiago de Compostela about 12 years ago, I think. And then back again on the Camino Frances, that same path from Lyon later. And also done the path that I've most recently done, the path from Le Puy. And you've written a wonderful book called Santiago, Walking the Pilgrim Path, about your experiences on your first pilgrimage to Santiago de Compostela. So this is something that you know very, very well. In a minute, we're going to look at this amazing array of boots here in Trek and Travel, or footwear for walking. But first, Almas, can I ask you, when you're going to do the pilgrimage, when you're coming to buy your boots or your walking shoes, what is it about this pilgrimage that you need to know for that purchase?
Okay, we're going to be walking through a variety of terrains and weathers. So you've got to get something that's going to be comfortable for you, that's going to handle the rain, it's going to handle some of the stony paths to get through. So I really recommend to get some waterproof but breathable boots for your journey.
Fantastic. Now let's walk over to this wall of footwear here. It's really the most sort of, it can be, if you've not bought walking shoes or boots before, it can be a little bit bewildering. So, Almas, can you please explain what I'm looking at with this amazing display of footwear here?
Well, Dee, there are three types of walking footwear that most people will be using in one form or another. The first type is a walking shoe. Now, the walking shoe is distinguished by having a slightly firmer sole, in comparison, say, to tennis shoes. The second type is what we call a mid-cut, and a mid-cut gives you a little bit of ankle protection, and then a full...
So it looks like a boot, but it's not quite as chunky and big as a boot.
Yes, that's right. So it's just going to give you a bit of ankle support, and then we get to the full boot, which will give you full ankle support, but it's a little bit heavier, and the sole itself is certainly a lot firmer.
Yes, I can see the difference between those two. So, Almas, now you are the person that, if somebody comes in to Trek and Travel and they say they're going on the Camino, if you're in here, they call for you. Let's pretend I'm in here buying a pair of boots. What happens? First of all, I know I need to allow a lot of time for it, don't I? This is a really important purchase.
Yes, look, I really recommend that when people come in looking for the right footwear, they allocate at least an hour, because sometimes it does take that long. Sometimes you might be lucky and the first set you try on, a good set. But yeah, you need to allow an hour for it. And the other thing is that I always tell people, look, there are three things to look for in a shoe, in a walking shoe. Number one is it has to be comfortable. Number two, it has to be supportive. And then number three, and it could be some way down the back, is fashion.
So in that order of priority,
that's correct. So, Dee, you need to get something that's comfortable, because if it's not comfortable, you won't be wearing it, okay? So if you're on the Camino and you've got something that's not comfortable, you're definitely going to get blisters, and once you get that, you're not going to be wearing those boots.
And you are going to be in those boots for, you know, 8 hours a day or...
That's right. And if you're going all the way from St. John to Santiago, that's about, what, 30 to 35 days?
Yeah.
So imagine that. And any problems that you have with your feet are accumulative. So that you might be okay for a first couple of days, but if there's some real issue there, then the fourth, fifth days, etc., you're going to start compounding your problems.
So, I mean, I know I made a mistake with the first pair of boots that I bought. I kind of put fashion first and bought a pair of boots which were just too narrow for me. And then they were a gorgeous Italian brand and they looked absolutely amazing in the ads, and friends had them and I had to have them, and I got them, and mid-morning on my first walk, luckily it wasn't in Spain, it was a little closer to home, I really was in deep, deep trouble. And so I returned here and, under your good guidance, got a pair of boots that were much better for my, I think my typically Australian wider foot. Is that, would that be true?
You could, as a rule of thumb, it is. There are a number of boots, and every manufacturer will have a slightly different last. Now, a last is, if you like, the template that is used to show the size and the width of the foot. Now, typically, some European manufacturers have slightly narrower lasts, and some American and other companies have slightly wider lasts. For example, the Keen boots are the widest lasts that we have here. And
That's KEEN.
That's correct.
Right.
And really, Dee, the other thing to remember that many folk who are going on the Camino are now in their 50s and 60s, etc. So at that particular age, our feet actually get a bit broader. They splay out a bit as we get older. And so then we need slightly different boots.
Right, okay. So would you say with people buying their footwear for the Camino, is there do they normally buy shoes or mid boots or big boots?
Probably more often than not, mid-cuts.
Uh-huh.
And some people do have the boots, especially those people who are heavier on their feet or shoes. They tend to, we recommend the boots for them.
And that's not necessarily a heavy person, is it? That's just somebody...
It's how you actually stand on your footwear, okay? So we recommend that extra support. But for most people, probably mid-cuts are okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's enough flexibility there so that you're not sort of constrained.
Right. Now, when you are trying on your boots, when you're buying your boots and trying different styles, it's obviously important in the shop to have, if you wear orthotics, to have them with you.
Yes.
Very, very important. And also, can we talk about socks for a minute? Just take a little diversion and talk about socks. If we could just walk over to a stand of socks here. You know, socks aren't socks. Socks are really quite many and varied, and there are rack upon rack of socks here. Almas, there seem to be two sorts of socks, thick socks and thin socks. Can you explain that?
Do you remember that old TV ad where they say oils ain't oils? Okay, so it really applies to socks as well. Typically, we recommend to have two pairs of socks. Now, the reason for that is that the first pair, in other words, the pair that's going to be actually touching your foot, touching the skin of your foot, are the very thin socks, and it's a special material called Coolmax. Now, this Coolmax material is designed to wick away, you know, or pull away that hot moisture from your foot and deposit it into the outer sock, where it eventually will percolate through that and then through your breathable boot to the outside. And now these inner socks have to be really changed over every day, so you just hand wash them and they'll dry out. And on top of that, then we select a...
And that's really important, isn't it? They must be changed every day.
Every day, that's right.
Because little bits of sort of, you know, grit or whatever get in them, and that's where you might get your blisters and your hygiene problems.
Exactly, that's right. So the outer sock can be actually quite a variety of materials. The only material that we don't recommend is cotton.
Cotton is a no-no on the pilgrimage, isn't it?
Yes.
Or on, you know, long-distance walking.
That's right, especially on your feet, because they make towels out of cotton, and the function of towels is to take the water off your body, but then hold it
okay? And that's what we don't want. Otherwise, if you're wearing cotton socks for longer than a couple of hours, you'll be finding that you're going to be walking in warm water, almost.
And, okay. And clothing as well. You don't recommend cotton clothing of any sort, do you?
The look, cotton.
So it's back to wool socks?
Wool socks or a wool blend, a wool and polyester blend, mm-hmm. Or some socks even have the Coolmax material done in them. But we always recommend to have the two pairs of socks because the Coolmax ones that you wash every day, but the outer socks maybe every 2 or 3 days.
Which is fantastic because sometimes drying those big, thick outer socks can be a bit of a challenge. And you see people on the pilgrim path with them hanging off the back of their backpacks, hoping for a ray of sunshine. So that's really good news that you can just have the change the lighter inner Coolmax socks every day and they'll wash and dry really quickly.
Yep.
So, Almas, we've got our socks on, we've got our orthotics in these boots we're trying on, and then what happens then in the shop?
Okay.
What do we need to know?
Well, then what we'll do is we'll measure your feet, okay? Uh-huh. This is very important, so that we've got a basic idea. And to make sure that we measure both feet, because 1 foot invariably is a little bit bigger than or smaller than the other foot. And we need to fit the boot for the larger foot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then there are a variety of boots that we look at, various brands, etc. The important thing is not to be caught up on a brand name. Just because one brand suits your friend's foot doesn't mean it's going to suit yours. So we tend to sort of be a little bit ambiguous in which brand we're going to be working with. But ultimately it comes back to those 3 points. Number one, comfort. Number two, support. And number three, fashion.
And the price range is, what, between about
$200 and $400? $200 and $400.
Yeah. And really, you're looking for a boot that fits and not at the price range,
aren't
you?
That's right.
Yes.
Well,
if it doesn't fit and you've saved $50, you're going to be buying another pair of boots anyway.
Exactly. I mean, this has happened so often. We've been on various tours where someone has gone to a sale and bought a pair of shoes, boots that they think are okay. They've tried it. It's relatively okay. And then 2 days down the track, they're not working. Blisters are starting to appear and they're finding it very difficult. So by saving, $70 or so at the sale, they've in fact had to trash the boots and go and get another pair.
Yeah, you do see boots in the rubbish bins, don't you, in those first few days on the pilgrimage. And pity people who have to go and who maybe don't speak Spanish or French and have to go and buy a pair of boots in a language they don't understand. So I've bought my boots and you have, before I bought my boots, you've obviously asked me to walk up the ramps that you have in the store and just to make sure that they're not rubbing, they're not, your toes aren't falling into them when you're going downhill and the backs don't rub when you're going uphill and those things. So I've bought my boots. There's something I've got to do, isn't there, before I set out on my Camino?
Well, there is. There's, with the boots, what we always recommend is that you're 95% sure that these are the boots are correct for you before you leave the store. Now, typically, and this applies to a lot of other stores as well, that we always recommend you take the boots home, you walk around on the carpeted side of your house, and really within a few hours, you'll get a great idea whether the boots are going to be okay or whether there's some problem.
Mm-hmm.
So you can always bring those boots back.
That's very important, isn't it? Yeah.
It is, too. Yeah. To actually try them out, and we encourage people to stay in the shop as long as possible to make sure that they leave with something that's going to be useful for them. We don't want to sell anything that's they're going to have to just come back.
Yeah. And then you've really got to do some walking in them, don't
that's
you?
Right.
You've got to wear them in before you get on the plane.
Now, Dee, what I always suggest is that and recommend is that when people are going on the Camino, 2 months before they go, that they spend, and especially people who are working midweek, they do 2 hours walking on Saturday, 2 hours walking on Sunday, to give their bodies that whole experience that something is coming down the track.
Oh, that's a really good idea. Okay? Yeah.
So that's 8 weeks before you get on the plane to head off to Spain, to do that. And look, by that time you'll know 100% your boots are okay, your socks are working well, and all your other gear is working. You've got your wet weather gear, your walking poles, And your packs, okay, etc. So yeah. all those particular things.
Can I just pick up on one thing? I mean, we could talk all day about gear for walking, and there's a few better shops than this one to get your gear. But let's just, if we could just talk about walking poles for a minute. Because I know when I went on my first pilgrimage walk, I was advised to buy walking poles, and all my Aussie kind of walking mates said, oh, don't be such a sissy, you don't need those. But actually, I found that they were invaluable. And I know in your book, you mentioned that you started out without any walking poles or a walking stick, and you soon were buying one.
Well, what happened is that, that's right, Dee, I was a bit probably very similar to you. We started out from Pamplona, and as we got to a beautiful little village called Esteia.
Oh, yes.
Which is just absolutely fascinating. I ended up buying a single walking pole, in fact, and I found that for me that really worked well. I was able to keep a good rhythm. I felt like a walker. You know, it's the pilgrim staff, etc. So all those things. What we now recommend to most folk is to have two walking poles, because it actually does, it distributes the weight as you're walking across the four limbs rather than just your two legs. And as our manager Ian always says, that if you want to keep walking into your senior years, then use walking poles, because it does. It takes the pressure off the knees. And the knees are one of the first things that people usually, as we're starting to get into our senior years, have issues with.
And especially downhill, I found that they were really reassuring. Say on a really kind of wet, horrible day, and you're going down a path where there's water rushing down, and you just, it's slippery, and you're just feeling a little vulnerable.
Mm.
Having those walking poles to sort of steady myself really gave me, you know, a lot of comfort.
Comfort, exactly. And confidence in actually taking the slopes, whether you're going up or down.
Yeah, and it becomes sort of one of the sort of oral signatures of the pilgrimage, doesn't it? Those kind of tap, tap, tap of walking sticks.
It does, it does.
When you've got a metal path or a road.
Yes.
Yeah. Almas, thank you so much for that wonderful advice. Can I just be greedy, though, and ask you a little bit about your pilgrimages? Because, you know, people always love to hear other people's pilgrimage story. Now, your first pilgrimage on the Camino Francés, so the path across northern Spain, was in the late 1990s. And you returned in 2010 and did the section from León to Santiago de Compostela. What differences did you notice in that decade?
I've thought about this a little bit, and I've really sort of come to the conclusion it's not so much the landscape or the environment around you has changed very much, but you've changed yourself. You come back with different eyes. Because the first time you actually go through a path, there are certain things that you pick up and a lot of things you don't. But you come back again with different eyes, and you see some similarities and some differences, and actually you see a whole lot more.
What time of the year? Now, your first pilgrimage, you went, I think, in October, September, October.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you had some really quite hot days
then. Yeah.
But you then went into the sort of cooler autumn days. And what time of year was your second?
The second one was actually, we set off in late March. It just so happened, it worked out that we actually walked into Santiago on Easter Saturday. So we were able to see all the great, the holy functions on the Sunday. So it was a very full city then.
They're amazing, aren't they, those huge religious feast and festival days, bringing out the amazing precious statues and silverware and all of that kind of thing. They really are extraordinary.
And you just think that we don't have that same sense here in Australia.
Yeah.
Too. It's typically European, and I think very Mediterranean European as well. That's sort of the more of the hot climates.
Almas, how many kilometres a day roughly do you walk when you're on the pilgrim paths?
Well, look, about probably an average of 23 kilometres a day. So I know it's an unusual number, but that's
finding your pace. That's finding what suits your body.
Yeah. So look, when people ask, how far should I walk in a day? I usually say, look, anywhere between 15 and 20 kilometres.
Mm-hmm.
And if you find that you can easily achieve more than that, then go for it.
Yeah. Now, I have just two more things I'd love to mention while we're chatting. We're standing by the sock bar again.
Yep.
And on the top of it is a product called Hiker's Wool. Now, this is something that I really want to shout loudly from the rooftops about, because this is a product. It just looks like kind of a bag of fluffy cotton wool, and it's from New Zealand, called Hiker's Wool. And this really saves my bacon when I walk, because every morning you can just wrap it around little bits of your feet where you know that they might rub, or and I know if you're thinking that you're going to get a blister, which we haven't talked about blisters, but if you think there's a blister coming up, you should really stop immediately, shouldn't you, when you feel that little warm tingly. Don't walk another step. Stop and deal with it, because the consequences of not doing that are really quite awful, and you do see people in dreadful trouble with blisters. But this Hiker's Wool is just a fabulous product, isn't it?
It is, Dee. The look, Hiker's Wool is meant for to be applied to any one of your hot spots before it develops, as you said. So it's really good for that. And I guess this is what you do. You wrap a little bit of this material around the hotspot area, and then when you put your sock on, the sock will hold it in place.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's great. This is like a preventative, okay? Now, if you do end up getting blisters, now, for a lot of people, they're walking during the day, and they don't necessarily feeling anything, because their feet may be a little bit numb. You know, if the boots are a little bit too tight, it might be slightly numb there. So it's only when they get to their accommodation that night that they take off their boots and go, oh, look, there's a blister. That's right. So there are a lot of products for that too. There's sort of little blister kits, etc., that you can get basically little bandages that are medicated, and that's the important thing, that they're medicated. And they just slip neatly over the blister area.
Don't leave home without them, or the Hiker's Wool, because that's really light in your backpack. Now, I've got to ask you before we finish, you've fitted so many people with footwear for their pilgrimage. Did they ever come back in and tell you what's happened?
Yes, look, we've had a variety of people coming through. Many of them have said, look, the boots are fantastic, they've done the job. We had a customer who came back with a pair of boots. It must have been very heavy on the boots, because they were actually, you know, fairly well worn. So he could have done with probably a heavier boot. But most people have come back and said that, look, they're great, you know. It was really good. No blisters, and we did it well.
And it's that thing of wanting to share the story of your pilgrimage, yes, isn't it, well?
Yeah.
Because obviously when they come here and buy their boots, with you, they are talking to a pilgrim.
Yes, that's right, exactly.
And then to come back and have a different conversation with you, having done it themselves, they're then able to engage with on a completely different level.
That's right. I mean, and in fact, in Sydney, we have, you know, like almost a pilgrim's equivalent of the RSL, the Return Pilgrims League. So we have, there's a lady called Sandra Collier, who's a member of the Confraternity of St. James. And
the English Society.
The English Society, yes. And they have monthly meetings for all those folk who have returned from the Camino and, you know, want to share their life-changing experiences.
Well, you do become part of a pilgrimage family, don't you?
Do.
And it becomes a very special part of your life. Almas, thank you so much. That is really, really wonderful information and helpful. And buon Camino.
Buon Camino. Great, excellent. Just got to make sure you stop it now. You'll at some stage you'll probably